Growing up in the early days of the internet, Dolly Alderton constructed elaborate fantasies about romance long before experiencing it firsthand. Like many teenagers, she meticulously planned her romantic timeline. She would date a modest number of intellectual partners before marrying in her late 20s. Her preferences were charmingly specific: tall, culturally Jewish classmates with their own transportation. The advent of instant messaging transformed her social world as she spent countless hours cultivating online relationships through carefully crafted usernames and calculated digital presence. Even on family vacations, she prioritized these virtual connections over real-world experiences. What made these teenage dreams so powerful was their promise of completion, the belief that finding love would resolve all other concerns in life. Every crush felt monumental. Every awkward first kiss seemed life-altering. The contrast between her online persona and real-world interactions became increasingly apparent when she entered boarding school, where actual relationships proved far more complex than their digital counterparts. This period captures something universal about coming of age: the way we construct elaborate romantic narratives before we've lived them, and how these expectations rarely match reality. Haven't we all at some point believed that the right relationship would somehow make us whole? These early fantasies, however unrealistic, form the foundation upon which we build our understanding of love. Dolly's first date at 14 was a Costa Coffee disaster. Her date, Betzalel, appeared transformed, shaved curls and weight gain. The meeting imploded when she mocked his Toy Story 2 purchase and he criticized her skirt, ending after 12 minutes. University brought an ill-fated New Year's Eve encounter at 18, which devolved into chaos involving her friend's hidden control pants and a broken shower. The night ended in embarrassment when photos of the enormous knickers appeared on Facebook. Then came Grayson, an eyeliner-wearing palm reader whose lack of social media made him seem deep. Their date at a seedy hotel featured tales of his father, the last of the colonizers, who'd allegedly discovered a rare fish. 5 years later, a PhD student boyfriend confirmed the story's truth. These mortifying encounters became formative experiences, proving that our most embarrassing moments often make the best stories. Dolly's first exposure to alcohol at age 10, accidentally served champagne at a bat mitzvah, created an enduring link between drinking and freedom. At University of Exeter, known for its heavy drinking culture, she joined a group of wild female friends who embraced the party lifestyle. Though academically unfulfilling, these years established behavioral patterns that persisted after graduation. Post-university, Dolly and friends moved into a rundown maisonette between Camden and Kentish Town. The house's decrepit state, with its mysterious stains and rats, became their consequence-free party haven. Their dealer, Fergus, became both drug supplier and unlikely confidant, with elaborate drug-acquiring rituals often becoming more significant than the actual use. While she rationalized her excess as gathering writing material, the lifestyle began to define her. Friends came to expect wild behavior at every gathering, eventually straining her health, finances, and well-being. At 21, after Harry ended their relationship, Dolly's weight plummeted. She found control through obsessive calorie counting and exercise. Within 3 months, she'd lost 42 pounds, her hair thinned, and she was constantly cold. Harry's later comment about her thinness humiliated her, while society's compliments reinforced her belief that thinness equaled worth. Meeting Leo, a PhD student, sparked change. He recognized her struggle and supported her recovery, helping her rediscover cooking and seek medical help. Though grateful for Leo's support, she realized she was still changing for male approval rather than self-care. Throughout her 20s, she oscillated between food restriction when feeling powerless and emotional eating for comfort. The scale became her measure of self-worth. While she eventually developed a healthier relationship with her body, the numbers remained, evidence of society's conditioning about women's bodies. Her journey revealed a cruel paradox. When most in need of self-compassion, we often turn our bodies into battlefields for unrelated wounds. Dolly struggled watching her best friend Farley fall in love with Scott. Their friendship had been inseparable since school, and during their Cambridge trip, jealousy coursed through Dolly like vinegar. "What's even in Cambridge?" she seethed. "What, like a Bella Italia?" When Scott professed his love after 3 months, Dolly wrote a mournful note on a night bus. She'd seen Farley hurt by teenage boys before and found comfort in it. As long as boys ignored Farley, Dolly had her exclusively. Their first major fight erupted at a Christmas party. They argued for hours, with Dolly comparing herself to Bjorn again, the warm-up act, while Farley was her Spice Girls headliner. Dolly mourned losing her place in Farley's family, where she'd spent countless weekends before Scott took her seat. When Farley announced moving in with Scott, she insisted nothing will change, but everything does when friends move in with partners. When Scott's exciting news WhatsApp group revealed his Valentine's proposal plans, Dolly cried at work, grieving her imagined future with her best friend. Amidst the romantic dramas, real tragedy struck when Farley's younger sister Florence was diagnosed with leukemia at 21. This profound loss put all of Dolly's previous concerns into stark perspective. In the hospital, Florence remained spirited despite her illness, showing off her wigs and joking while bald and steroid bloated. Her courage in facing mortality contrasted sharply with Dolly's everyday worries. The illness united the family, with her mother keeping nightly vigil and her father at her side. Florence documented her journey through a powerful blog, maintaining remarkable positivity throughout. After Florence passed, hundreds attended her funeral. During the Jewish mourning period, Shiva, Dolly supported Farley through his devastating grief. The tragedy transformed their lives. Farley and Scott postponed their wedding, and Dolly's anxieties seemed trivial. Florence's death taught her what truly mattered: deep connections and facing life's inevitable losses with grace. By 28, Dolly had learned about love primarily through female friendships, sharing intimate details of daily life, collaborative homemaking, and weathering countless crises together. When her friends began moving in with partners, she found a small one-bedroom flat in Camden that would be entirely hers. There, she discovered love was everywhere, in her records, recipe cards, gifts from friends, and photos. This experience shifted her perspective from seeing romantic love as life's ultimate prize. She recognized love's many forms, with friendship often proving most enduring, like her relationship with Farley, which had strengthened through jealousy, distance, and tragedy. She learned that authentic self-acceptance was more magnetic than performing for attention, and that the love you receive reflects your self-love. When doubt creeps in, she learned to comfort herself with a simple truth: I've got you. Perhaps the greatest love story isn't found with another person, but in learning to embrace ourselves with compassion.